Welcome into this Tuesday afternoon edition of Gwynn and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, and the Padres, I would say they gave one away last night, coming off of a tough loss in a 2-1 ball game. That there was plenty of fireworks in that first inning where Padres had a ton of first two innings where the Padres had a ton of opportunity. They only were able to cash in one, and they end up losing this ball game, gentlemen.
Yeah, it was that was definitely a frustrating couple of innings, and you know, we can certainly delve into, you know, it a little more specifically. I think each of the three runners being thrown out at home plate was maybe a little different. Like, it wasn't just the same thing every single time,
right.
And I think that you need some more context, and people really need to look into it before you yell for a new third base coach and blame it all
right.
on him. You know, it was one of those nights. First of all, the other thing, and you played outfield, Tony, the guy made a couple, you know, two good throws. Let's give, you know, sometimes you got to give a little credit to the other team. It's not always your mistake. Sometimes the other guy makes a good play. The left fielder, Ewing, made a good throw. Anyway, but it was weird. You're right. I mean, you actually had a span there. After Fernando lined into the glove of the pitcher to lead off the game, I believe seven consecutive Padres reached base, and none of them scored. Like, how does that even happen? So it was really weird, and just one of those nights. And then I guess the other frustrating thing that I think people aren't thinking about is after the first couple of innings, Tony, they were pretty much shut down the rest of the way, too. So they didn't really threaten a lot after that. So...
No, I think, listen, both things can be true, that Padres took advantage of McClain early before he settled in and got on his good groove. And I also agree that all three of those, I think, were a little bit different. I think the only one in question is, to me, is the first one, sending Cronenworth. Because that didn't just take a good throw. I mean, that throw could have been high.
No, you're right.
To the right. It could have been to the left. And he would have still probably been out.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
The other two,
so, you know.
The other two were bang, bang. And you know, you can make the argument that Bogey shouldn't have ran through the stop sign. I think he said as much. But it still took two, I mean, perfect throws to get the other two guys out, I thought.
Well, the other two also both were with two outs. And I always feel if you're on second
right.
base with two outs and you're half worth your salt, and I
you
know Xander
go.
Bogaerts thinks he is, you know, you feel you should score on that. And,
yeah.
you know, the guy made a throw and got him, and I think Xander's thinking about that. Again, if you stop at third and, you know, the next batter pops up, then everybody goes, "Why? How come you didn't try it? Why didn't you go? You should." And understand that if you stop at third – okay, I get that. But if you do, let's look at percentages. A good batting average is what, Tony? 270, 280? You tack
That's
on
great.
Maybe the odds of an error, another 30, 40 points. To me, getting a run in from third with two outs is maybe a 33% chance, 35%. I'm not trying to get too analytical, but to me, you probably have a better chance of just scoring from second and hoping that the throw's a tad offline. So, yeah, I don't blame either of those two. I really don't. Padres have been aggressive all year. I have no trouble trying to score from second with two outs. And obviously the Cronenworth one, I think, you know, Henley made a mistake. He shouldn't have sent him there. Okay, they put erasers on pencils. I'm not going to hold this against the guy for the rest of time.
Not at all.
There was a little kerfuffle in the Kevin Acey newsletter about Henley not being made available after the game to speak with reporters because Craig Stammen didn't want him to speak with reporters because Craig Stammen thought the explanation that Henley gave him was good enough, whatever. He didn't want him to speak to the media. Do you guys have any issues with that?
No, I don't. Chris?
I don't. I mean, what are we going to ask him?
Kevin Acey's point was all I wanted to do was just understand more of the what happened there. What
There's
was going
more
on in
you
your
need
head?
To, what did what did I'm sorry. What did Stamp say about it?
He said that, let me go get the quote while you guys are.
I'm assuming that if you ask Henley what happened there, he would say, look, on the first one, I thought I saw something I didn't see. He got to the ball a little quicker or whatever, and that probably was a call I'd like to have back. And on the other two, it's two outs and I'm taking a shot. And I also don't think Henley's even going to throw Xander under the bus, because that's not what good teammates do. Everybody sticks up for everybody on this team. It was a team-wide thing. If you want to blame this entire game on the third base coach, that's ridiculous. The Padres have seven more at-bats to score one run, and they couldn't do it.
In the newsletter, it's not really a quote to say, but it says, Stammen instructed a media relations staffer to inform reporters that Henley would be unavailable to talk. Stammen's reason was that his addressing the plays was sufficient. Kevin Nacy goes on to say that he's never come away from a conversation with a third base coach and not been better informed. So
I get what Kevin Acey's saying, but here's my only sticking up for Stammen on this one. Because I'm on the side of the reporters and us getting the information, but if Kevin Acey ever asked to interview Henley when he sent a runner and the guy made it to win the game, then I think it's okay to now interview Henley when he made a mistake.
Exactly. I'm going to play devil's advocate. Do we know that he's not asking or talking to him on a daily basis?
Have you ever seen a quote? Have you ever seen Henley quoted in the news?
Call for that.
Exactly. You've never seen the third base coach quoted in the paper after he sends a guy and they win the game on that play.
Yeah, Chris and I are on the same frequency on this, because you open it up for – you know, your third base coach to be interviewed every game after a guy is sent home. Are you also doing it when, as Chris said, when he is sent in and it's been right? Like, you just are opening yourself up, you and your team. Forget just the information part. You're opening yourself up for some type of somebody not understanding something, how it's being. You just open yourself up for this to kind of infiltrate things that doesn't need to that don't even need to be a
part. Yeah, and by the way, I'd like the Padres once again to send me my paycheck for sticking up for them, because I know people think I'm being a shill. But
shill.
I mean, I know. But I mean, I would tell you differently if I thought differently. And like I said, if you do this now, like Tony's saying, every time a guy gets thrown out at home now, the rest of the season, we have to now answer for it.
That's
not the way. Look, guys throw guys out at the plate. It does happen.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it does happen. It doesn't usually happen three times, I'll grant you that.
I think it's the first time since like 1920 or something like that.
That was crazy.
I didn't think that other coaches, assistant coaches, were even available to the media to begin with. I thought it always went through the
manager. Well, it's definitely that in football these days. They won't let any assistants talk in football. I don't know, does Ruben Niebla ever get quoted? You know, and I don't really hear him too often, once in a while. But
he might be the only one that is consistently quoted. Yeah. I mean,
he's also assistant manager. So.
Well, I was about to say, he's the associate or whatever.
Associate manager.
Should they make Souza available because the team only got one hit after the third inning? Obviously, he didn't have him prepared.
It's fair.
Well, it's fair if you're going to interview Souza after the game they score 17 runs. Like,
I'm for it. Like, I want to know what happened. Why did you guys all of a sudden have a 17-run outburst? I want to listen to that. I also want to listen to why you guys got one hit or whatever it was.
Well, the other day. There was a lot of things in that game.
Sometimes there's not an explanation for it.
That's true.
Like, sometimes you just got one hit.
That's true.
Yeah, it was disappointing because, I mean, the Mets brought in a couple of guys at the end of the game that don't have, you know, much of a track record. Maybe that was part of it. Maybe the Padres didn't have a great read on those two guys that closed out the game. Walker Buehler pitched well enough to get a win here. And, you know, I know another thing that was I was seeing all over social media today, and this is just a total – you know, byproduct of social media, but Walker Buehler walks off the mound at the end of the first inning, and he yelled at somebody in the dugout. I don't know who it was. They're trying to say it's Michael King. They're trying to say it's the third base coach, although I don't even think anything happened. They're trying to say whatever they say. Walker Buehler is a gamer, and I love it, and guys yell at each other all the time. time. There's nothing to this.
I believe this was a clickbait type of
of
video.
Of course it was.
I don't know whether it was clickbait or not. I just love the guesses, right? Like, Michael King,
what did he do?
Watching the game.
What did Walker Buehler tell us when we interviewed him a few weeks ago? When you get taken out of the game, why are you so nice? He said, because it's my first year on the team. It's not going to be like that going forward.
He doesn't like bad things to happen to him. That's one of the reasons that bad things don't happen to him that often.
I enjoy watching Walker pitch like that.
I hope he yells at guys after every inning that he gives up a run.
He pitches like like he can't stand you all the time.
He really does. He looks at the batter like, I hate you.
The batter, the catcher, whoever is like in his area at that time.
Tony,
I get
every bit of it, man. I get every bit of it. I used to feel the same way out there at the level I pitched at, but the hitter was not my friend for that three, four minutes, you know?
At one point yesterday, he made a pitch that was a little bit off the plate. You could see it. And he was staring daggers into Luis like, I can't believe you didn't challenge that.
Oh,
like he was so, and snatched the ball back, and he got on there and made his next pitch. I told you, Tony, to see him so irritated.
I told you when I pitched, and if an umpire I felt squeezed me, if I felt I had a couple of pitches that I didn't get called, I would honestly shake off my catcher until we got a high fastball, and then I'd throw it a little higher, hoping the catcher missed it, and it would hit the umpire. That's what I wanted to do. That's how idiotic I was out there on the mound. So I get it.
Well, Walker Buehler says that he respects your maneuver. I will never forget that he used maneuver, because that was a great way of putting it. He respects the maneuver.
Yeah, I love Walker now, man. He's my guy.
It is funny that this post gets put up. And, okay, that person may have thought he was talking to Michael King. But, like, when you're saying that, you're trying to start something. You are trying to start some inner team turmoil.
I don't know whether you're trying to start something or not. You might just be observing something. At the end of the day, I don't think he was talking to Michael King. I don't even know that he was necessarily talking to anybody in particular.
He was just pointing indiscriminately, yelling.
He could have just been talking to whoever was near.
Hey, I would be yelling if I gave up even a sacrifice fly to Luis Robert. That guy's like the easiest out in baseball. So, yeah, I'm sure he was frustrated. It was a frustrating night all the way around. The good news is the Diamondbacks got whooped. So,
Tell Marte too.
Well, that's another thing, and we got to be a little careful.
Yeah, I'm about to say we should just.
Everybody's
jump on
jumping on Ketel Marte. This is the same guy. Remember that cried his eyes out a couple of years ago because fans were yelling things at his mother who had just passed. Yeah. I believe this is a very emotional guy.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I believe there's something I'm worried.
Did
I really
tell
am.
What
I don't think
first?
This to me does not seem like a I hate the Diamondbacks move.
So he was put on the restricted list because he apparently did not show up to the game.
Not apparently.
Yesterday.
He didn't show up to the game.
Oh, he just didn't show up at all.
No, he wasn't there.
Oh, I thought he was just late.
Apparently, no. Torreyville said they knew something was going on.
Yeah.
But he was under the impression that he was still going to show up to the field.
Right.
So there's something happening.
I'm not
comfortable jumping out and talking about it because I don't know what's what yet.
Yeah, me neither. I hope he's okay. I did hear that the Diamondbacks, somebody on the Diamondbacks, I don't know whether they let it slip or that just the way it came out, but they said that it was hard for us to concentrate on the game until we knew he was okay.
He's okay. Yeah.
Somebody said that. I don't remember which player said that.
I think it was Lovello who said
it. It might have been. So the bottom line is they know something's up with him. They have to put him on the restricted list. He doesn't show up to the game. But I think there's something really serious here, and I hope that whatever is happening with Ketel Marte gets taken care of. I'm sure there's a lot of people who think he's just being one of these.
By the way, I wasn't bringing it up to make fun of him.
No, I don't think you are.
It was a strange situation.
It is, and I think a lot of us just immediately rush to judgment and say, well, this is today's athlete. You know, I don't get my way. I'm going to not show up. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would pull that. So,
you know, Ketel Marte, I fully understand why he cried, but the Dodgers cry because they're just bad at things. You know, do you guys see Kyle Tucker last night crying in the dugout? So now we got Roky Sasaki.
Oh, my God.
And we got Kyle Tucker crying now.
He was just making up stuff.
No, he was crying. I saw it. Did you see him do this with the tears?
Just like Roky wasn't crying.
Oh, he was totally crying.
Oh, stop, dude.
I don't know if either of them are crying, but if I was Edwin Diaz, I might start crying. They put him in with an 11 to 2 lead just to try to get him a good inning of work, and he gave up 4 more runs. I mean, this guy is he's getting tattooed. Obviously, Tucker's struggling, but the Dodgers, you know, got exactly what they needed last night. Was Ohtani back in form? And, you know, a trip to Coors Field. I've been watching this for, you know, 1993, the Rockies came in. So we're talking about 30-plus years. Dodgers, I think, average about 15 runs a game in that ballpark. They just always have. So, you know, that was a win for them. Good for them. Padres got to get back on track tonight. It's Robbie Ray's turn to be the star.
Yes, it is.
You have a lineup?
Yes, I do. Lineup goes like this. Fernando Tatis Jr. playing right field, leading off. Renjifo playing left field, batting second. Manny Machado playing third, batting third. Ty France at first base, batting cleanup. Jackson Merrill, fifth spot, playing center field. Xander Bogaerts, sixth spot, playing shortstop. Austin Hayes DHing in the seventh spot. Freddie Fermin catching in the eighth spot. And then Jake Cronenworth, second base, in the nine spot for Mr. Robbie Ray.
I am really upset with the Renjifo. He didn't pull some incredible miracle at bat last night to save the game.
I know. I was totally waiting for it. I was
like,
this
dude, his season.
If he's magic, it's going to happen.
I know, but that's just proof that it's not that easy to do that on command. But
not easy at all.
Yeah, you know, we get him tonight.
Yeah, it would have been nice. It definitely would have been nice. All right, let's get to break. On the other side, Borgwin and Chris, where are you guys headed after this?
What I'm going to do,
I know you have to go, but I'm going to break down each of the three guys getting thrown out and everything that I saw in those three plays just to try to clear it all up for everybody.
Ooh. Give some context.
A little more context on those, yeah.
All right,
let's get to break. Some of that on the other end.
Clear your schedule and tune in Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. for our Epic Padres Roundtable, sponsored by Epic Wings, voted San Diego's best wings 13 years running. To order, visit epicwings.com.
Just when you thought Scraby's no place he'd rather be than producing this great talk show, he came clean a moment ago. Says he really wants to be the guy on ESPN that gets to talk nothing but fantasy football for a living and give opinions on who to draft. That's what you'd want.
I don't doubt it.
If you want to be that guy, you're going to have to grow your beard a little longer.
Well,
apparently.
It's Daniel Dopp who does the ESPN Fantasy Focus. I've always been jealous of his job because I want his job.
You want his job, yeah. Well, get his beard first, and then maybe you can...
That's the other thing.
You can challenge him for it.
I don't know, like... How did he get that far with the beard
like
that? What
are you asking me? I don't know. I don't know. You're asking me about growing a beard?
I was told that I need to keep it clean if I wanted to go anywhere in life.
I know nothing about all that. All right, we have a quick show, so let's get back to it. Tony is off getting ready for the game, but quite a few things to deal with. Number one, in this segment, stick around, getting you a chance to win tickets to see Luke Combs. This is one of the biggest concerts here coming to San Diego. Petco Park next June. Yeah, that's right. We're planning 10 months ahead for you. June 26th, ticket information, lukescombs.com, or you can get Luke Combs tickets here in about 5 minutes. So don't go too far. Somebody was even telling me today that the end of next June, there are hotels in Mission Valley that are raising their rates for people that come in to see Luke Combs.
Is that true?
That's what I was told by some of our promotion people earlier. This guy, I guess, is that big a deal.
I need to start listening to
music attention,
a little bit.
But you can win a couple of tickets here in a couple of minutes. Secondly, little update on Ketel Marte. We talked about it in the open. And now the word, this according to our guy, Nick Picoro. Remember him from the Arizona Republic? I'm going to read you what he wrote. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But apparently, the word now going around is that Ketel Marte didn't show up for the game yesterday because he just took it upon himself to go back to Phoenix to get some imaging done on his sore knee. But if that's really what
usually.
He did, if that's really what happened, why wouldn't just somebody say something? You know, the whole secret hush-hush, I'm a little still more concerned than... I'm not accepting that story at face value yet. Let's just put
it
that way.
I mean, I would like everything to be okay with Ketel Marte. But
I do too.
There's something called just the simple being
and he's
responsible.
He's got doctors and trainers with the team.
And the team has to treat him.
It just doesn't seem like you just leave and you go back and go to your own dock. I don't get it.
Not to mention you left your team hanging last night, and they're in the playoff chase, and they lost 11-1, and he's on the restricted list.
He can't play. But that's the latest on Ketel Marte. I agree with you, Scraby. I'm concerned more about Ketel Marte still than I am this story. I'm also concerned about my well-being. Because if I have to watch PCA hit a leadoff home run and then a walk-off home run later in the night, my heart can't take it. I can't stand tuning into the highlights every night. This kid just is there to torture me.
It is tough.
He's now 30-30 for the year. And he was the first guy in 16 years to lead off a game with a home run and then win the game with a walk-off. That hadn't happened in a decade and a half. So, yeah, it's PCA's world, and unfortunately I have to live in it. Kyle Tucker did drop a fly ball again last night, second game in a row. Neither has really cost the Dodgers. They were kind of, you know, one game they were already losing. The game last night they were way ahead. But the Kyle Tucker thing has gotten bad in L.A. He's in an 0-for-25 slump right now. And I'm waiting to see if the Dodger lineup comes out for tonight. It's the only lineup in the majors that I don't have yet. But it'll be interesting to see if they're going to keep playing Kyle Tucker. I honestly think, you know, Dave Roberts is a pretty good guy. I know you guys don't like him and we're supposed to hate him, but I think Dave Roberts is the kind of guy that might just pull Kyle Tucker saying, take a few days right now. Take a few days. Just clear your head. Kyle Tucker still has the ability to be a great player. It's obvious that this whole season has come down. And I don't feel sorry for him. I'm just saying, if I'm Dave Roberts, I need to still get something out of him.
Yeah.
You know, in the playoffs. Kyle Tucker could be the, you know, World Series MVP. It would not shock me if he had a hot week somewhere.
You just kind of killed my soul inside a little bit.
I know.
Kyle Tucker becomes a World Series MVP.
But I'm just saying, if you're Dave Roberts, I think you can't lose this guy completely. And it sounds like that's a problem. The other big slump right now, just for fun, belongs to Josh Baez.
Oh, Joshua Baez, yeah.
And you're wondering, who's that? Well, he's the kid that hit home runs in his first three at-bats for the Cardinals the other day, the first guy in baseball history to do it. Since then, he's 0-for-16 with six strikeouts.
That's so very baseball.
Baseball is just that mean. And yeah, we'll keep an eye on those things. All right, back to the guys getting thrown out last night. And I wanted to break them down a little more. And I have something on the third one that you're either going to not like or you're going to probably get mad at me for saying it. Not you, but the listeners.
But I'll be the judge of that.
I'm going to say it anyway. But let's start with the first one. Top of the second inning, right? You've got two on. Oh, no, it's the end of the first inning. I'm sorry. Top of the first inning, right? You got Cronenworth singles, Machado singles, France singles. Now you'd have bases loaded, one out, with Merrill coming up, the hottest guy you have. So that to me was clearly mistake, third base coach. Can't make that mistake. Cronenworth was out from me to you. Mm-hmm. That was a bad mistake. Now, I will say that the base hit by France seemed to take a little bit of a wonky bounce in front of Benj, the right fielder, and I think maybe, you know, Henley just misread that. It's a mistake. Again, people make mistakes. Okay, that's it. He shouldn't have sent him there. That's it. Clear.
Yeah, people make mistakes. I'm not mad at that at all.
Yeah,
it's a mistake. It happens.
Yeah, but let Merrill bat with the bases loaded, one out. But instead, now two outs, Merrill comes up, and he also gets a single. To me, you have to send Manny there. I know that the guy just threw a runner out, but there's two outs now. It was a bang-bang play at the plate. You got to make him throw the guy out. Manny was right there. Tag, out. The chances of Manny scoring at least were 50-50, maybe a little more. And that's better than the chances Campusano or anybody has of bringing the run in from third with two outs. 50%. People don't get on base 50%. Nobody.
Yeah.
So that was a risk that was worth taking. Now, into the second inning, And again, now they had, I was right. I looked this up. They did actually get seven straight base runners last night.
Yeah, yeah.
And not score.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It couldn't have ever happened
seven
before.
Seven consecutive guys
got on.
That's so hard to do.
Cronenworth singled, Machado singled, France singled, Merrill singled. That's how the first inning ended. Second inning, you had Campusano walked, Sheets hit by pitch, Bogarts walked. Seven in a row. Now, Renjifo has been coming through all year, chops back to the mound, so they force the runner at the plate, which kind of, ironically, there's another runner thrown at the plate, by the way, which we didn't even look at. All right, so now Tatis gets the run in with a sac fly, almost a grand slam.
Is so
again,
close.
Another thing, you look at the game, you don't even remember it, but he got under that ball by half a fraction. So that's a grand slam, but it's not. So now first and second, two outs, Cronenworth singles. Here we go again. Bogarts runs through the stop sign, but I'm going to defend Bogarts, and I'm not one normally to defend him. I said it earlier, if you're on second base with two outs and you're worth your salt, you're scoring on a base hit. And he, you know, to me, he was just like, I'm scoring. I got to get home. So should he have run through the stop sign? No. But should he have gotten the stop sign? I would say also no. Same reason as I said before. If you're going to bases loaded, two outs, now you're leaving it up. Manny's got to get a hit or a walk to bring him in. Otherwise, take your shot there. But here's the thing I'm going to bring up that you're going to, I think you're going to be mad at me for.
I think I know where you're going, but I'm not sure.
I'm going to bring this up. This is for the people who don't think it's important for Manny and Fernando to hustle.
I knew it.
And there are many of you out there who think, Chris, you're just an old man. Get off your soapbox. These guys hustle plenty because I get the messages. I get your notes. Stop complaining about these guys not hustling. And I'll say, fine. But when there's a runner coming around to try and score on a base hit, the on-deck batter has to get behind home plate, get behind where the runner is coming in, and try to potentially help him where to slide. The on-deck batter can see the throw. He can see the throw coming maybe to the left. He can then signal to Bogarts to slide to the right. Would Bogarts have been out? Maybe. But we'll never know because Manny wasn't back where he was supposed to be. He was walking up to home plate, and if you look at the replay, you'll see Manny standing to the side of home plate, kind of waving Bogarts, like, hurry up. That's not where he's supposed to be.
It's kind of surprising.
I love Manny.
He's very smart about that stuff.
You guys think I'm being out of line, you know, ridiculous, but that's his job, is to go from the on-deck circle and hustle and get behind home and help Bogarts make the proper slide. And you see this all the time in baseball. On-deck hitters do this, but Manny wasn't there. Again, you take it how you want to take it, because I'm done being the only guy on my soapbox on this stuff. You don't think they need to hustle? Fine. End of story. That's it. I had nothing further.
Nothing further.
Case is closed. He's supposed to be there.
I won't argue with you on this one, because I know that's true. I'm surprised that Manny did that. I didn't even notice it.
I know. A lot of people didn't notice it.
I wasn't really watching that closely. But
I look for stuff like this.
I know that this is a thing, and I know that that is a very easy. There's no effort in that.
What's the final score? 2-1. These are the things sometimes that can make the difference. More Gwen and Chris ahead, a potpourri of everything else is happening on this Tuesday ahead of tonight's game. All right, final segment, quick show today. Sam Levitt in for the pregame show shortly. Robbie Ray, Zach Thornton, rookie. He's actually pitched okay for the Mets, left-hander. He'll get the start tonight for New York, game two of the series. First of all, Chad called in. He seemed to be pretty well aware of what the last AFL game ever played was. It was the AFL championship game after the 1969 season. The Chiefs beat the Raiders 17-7 in Oakland. And so the Chiefs went to Super Bowl IV. Chiefs would end up winning Super Bowl IV. They crushed the Vikings despite the fact they were heavy underdogs. That Chief team was one of the better teams ever put together. People don't remember it, but they were ahead of their time in terms of size and speed. And, you know, they had players that I think could still play today. Like, they had some really gigantic guys on that line and great speed. And anyway, they were too much for the Raiders that day. Anyway, that was the final AFL game because the next year the leagues merged. And the 1970 season is when the NFL became the AFC and the NFC. So congrats to Chad. He got that. Chiefs was the answer. Also, talked about Kyle Tucker being really not a very good free agent signing as it's been for the Dodgers. But who's worse, Kyle Tucker signing or Edwin Diaz? Edwin Diaz goes back to the injured list right now. He's gone on the IL again. Remember, he gave up four runs or something with, you know, in the ninth inning last night, just kind of stretching it out. But he couldn't get through it, barely got through it. They end up winning big, but his ERA is over 11.5, and he's blowing almost every game. The one game he saved last week, the bases got loaded before he saved it. So
what are they going to do without any extra players that they can?
I know, that's the thing, have no one to turn to.
They have an all-star team in the minor leagues.
Other than Tanner Scott, Alex Vesia, Evan Phillips,
Blake Treinen if
Blake
you need
Treinen
him.
When he comes back. Yeah, four or five guys they can turn to. But yeah, you're right. Now that's the unfair part, no doubt. The Dodgers can make those kind of mistakes. $120 million worth of mistakes and still be okay. Whereas any other team in baseball,
it crushes you.
Well, there's no other team that would even be able to go $60 million for a player in the first place. But you know, yes, you're right. Kyle Tucker, by the way, putting him in the lineup tonight. So Dave Roberts is saying, hey, you figure it out while you're in there.
I figured that was going to be the case. I know that sometimes guys do
I think
sit
a
down.
Rest is sometimes necessary, though. You're 0 for 25. You've dropped a fly ball two straight games. You got to be wondering what's going through Kyle Tucker's head right now.
He's counting all that money.
I guess so. You better stop.
There are certain guys, and I'm not saying he's this guy, but there are certain guys who just fall off after they get the contract.
There might be two reasons for it. One is what I think you're referring to is that you just become lazy because, you know, you now have made it.
And again, I'm not saying that before I get Kyle Tucker haters.
I don't know Kyle Tucker at all. But the other reason you could conceivably fall off statistically is because you just don't handle the pressure of being that highly paid.
Mm-hmm.
I know people out there like, my heart bleeds for you. Yeah, mine does too. But the bottom line, maybe Kyle Tucker just shouldn't have been the $60 million guy, right? He should have just, you know.
He's not even into his real money yet. He's only getting paid $1 million this year.
He's
next year,
paid
55.
He's got so much money coming in. There is pressure that goes with it. I'm just saying. I'm not saying I feel sorry for him. I'm just stating what I believe is a fact. One other quick thing before we potpourri. I don't know if I recommend this or not. For you to find the bleacher brawl.
Oh gosh!
What a horrible video last night. I think it's Cubs and White Sox fans, but I'm not sure if it was just Cub fans with each other. I couldn't tell. But it was all caught on video. You people are kind of voyeuristic, so you'll probably want to watch it. But just the worst of human behavior.
Voyeuristic.
Right? But isn't it? Like, you look at this video, you can't take your eyes off it, but, I mean, guys are just pummeling each other.
Yeah.
And there's no security until way too late.
I will never understand fighting
it's
to begin
with. It's
that
machismo thing that I, you know, I don't get.
But you are a special type of idiot if you fight at a baseball game. Because you are not only making it dangerous for yourself and someone else, you are making it dangerous for everyone around you. And you're
also
ruining their time.
Well, no, but those kinds of people aren't thinking about other people.
Of
you
course
know
they're
that.
Not. They're idiots.
But, you know, they're fighting and you're down a couple of rows from the other guy. I mean, how many people trip over the stands and fall? I mean, it's the fight is only half the battle. This is one of the uglier ones I've seen.
It's really bad.
If you want to find it, I'm sure you can find it somewhere.
I have a solution.
But people, please stop it.
I have a solution. You can sell less alcohol.
Yeah, well, you know that's not going to be the solution.
Exactly, Chris.
That will not be the solution, Mr. Scraby.
I know.
All right, give me a couple of...
Let's get some music.
Give us a little potpourri. Do we have potpourri music now?
We need to get some potpourri music.
We're going for some potpourri music.
We'll get some
potpourri
music.
Excited.
Well, we're going to start with something that I have been telling everyone is going to happen for years. Huh?
Okay, go ahead.
Roger Goodell.
Oh, yes, you have been in on this.
Said today... When he was asked about teams being located in other countries, he said, at some point there will be NFL teams outside the USA. I have no doubt that this will happen one day. There are definitely international cities that could host something like the Super Bowl, but we would like to see an NFL team in such a city first. So this is going to happen. I just don't know when.
All right, but here's the question. Because I agree with him. And because the money's just too great. And these people are all about greed.
Yes.
And getting more and more for themselves. But where are they going to put a team internationally? Are they going to put it in Mexico City, which is somewhat doable?
It's a long flight.
But are you going to really put one overseas in France or in England or in Germany? And then what are you going to do? That doesn't seem feasible.
It doesn't.
Although I understand plane flight travel. They have some flights now that can go back and forth a little quicker or a lot quicker. But really, are you going to put a team in Germany and make them fly to Seattle?
No.
Or make Seattle
that
fly
would be
to
crazy.
Germany?
You would have to send a team there for like a month.
Yeah.
Have them play a month worth of away games.
I think that Roger Goodell, although he's trying to, you know, just say... Tell us what we maybe want to hear. I don't know that he's thought it all out because it doesn't make...
He doesn't care.
Well, I know he doesn't care. He's making... Does anybody know how much he really makes?
Oh, yeah.
It's the tens and tens of millions of dollars
a year. It's like at least $50 million.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much. For just honestly walking around and taking bullets for the stupid owners.
I mean, that is tough.
It's pretty much what he does.
Also, when you're making... he's made... A most recent salary, $64 million.
Wow.
And that was in 2020. That's the last one we know about, according to this article.
You know, speaking of Dell and CEOs all around the world, when is it going to happen? This is, you know, a little off the Goodell subject, but when is it going to happen, or has it happened, and I just didn't hear about it? But when is it going to happen when a CEO anywhere in the world, in any company, decides not to take a pay increase so that they can help continue to employ those below them instead of taking an extra 20% and then firing 100, you know, 250, 300 people? When is this world going to get to there? Or do you think we ever will?
No, we're going away from that.
I know, we're getting further
away. You're right.
There are
some companies that I've seen this happen. There was, I can't remember the company name, but they're small companies. They're not like
It's not a big
conglomerates.
One. Yeah. I saw Tyson Chicken in, I don't know where they are, in Nebraska maybe or something.
Oh, I was like, what?
No, you know Tyson
yes,
the Chicken?
Yes, yes.
They laid off like 750 people this weekend and just like closed the doors. Like people who'd been there for 40 years, Walt showed up and they're like, over.
That's a whole other,
like, you know, deal with it.
That's this a whole is, other subject for another
yeah, I know.
Day,
it's a whole other thing.
Stinks.
We're on the wrong
it
show
stinks.
To do that.
It
but
stinks.
I just don't. Greed is so the root of evil that I can't even stand it. And, you know, we were talking about it yesterday, how I'm not excited about college football. Greed has ruined college football. If it hasn't ruined it, it's close to ruining it. Because all the big schools want more for themselves and less for the rank and file schools, and so the gap and the separation is just ruining the sport completely.
I agree. I mean,
I think
the money being made. So what we're seeing in the NBA, we're going to get to that story in just a second.
Okay.
What we're seeing with the Lakers is that billionaires are just. This isn't an anti-billionaire thing, but people who see these teams as cash cows do not care about the fans that like the team that they have now. They just want to make more money. So they will not listen to us.
What is going on with the Lakers? Because I read yesterday that Jeannie Buss sold her 17% share and the buses were done forever. Now I read the Genie Bus is suing the people who are buying the Lakers and saying, no, you can't have my share. So yeah. What's right, what's wrong? I also saw the Genie Bus was calling out Shams for you know, erroneous reporting on that.
Yep.
So what do you have? I don't. It's confusing.
It says, I didn't realize that the siblings were named this. This is...
oh, yeah. She doesn't like the brothers, Johnny,
well,
Jimmy.
Johnny, Jimmy, yeah. Janie, Joey, and Jesse.
Yeah, I guess Janie's probably...
And then Jeannie, but Jeannie's not a part of this.
Right, she's not in that group.
The statement said, Johnny, Jimmy, Janie, Joey, and Jesse have made the
decision.
They
decided to sell the rest of it, and she wasn't in on it, and so that's why she's trying to block it.
And she's not happy with it, and so she's trying to block it. She wants that 17%. Mm-hmm. Where was her quote? She said, the Los Angeles Lakers have never been just a basketball... Or actually, this is the Bus family. They've been one of the greatest privileges of our lives.
Yeah, good luck with
that. But she does not want to give up the team, which I don't blame her.
I don't either, but this is the machine of greed that is rolling over sports now.
Yes.
And she's the latest to be squashed by it, it looks like.
She's done some squashing of her own. So.
She has. So. She has, for sure. Again, you know... my heart doesn't bleed for Genie Bus, but we're giving an example of what we see happening out here. And if you want the ultimate example of greed, just wait till the baseball season is over.
I don't want
the players and the owners start fighting over how to split up $30, $40, $50, $60 billion. You're going to see it is greed and ego, the only two things that are keeping them from making an agreement. There is, whether you call it a salary cap or don't, there's enough money to go around where baseball doesn't have to even stop for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen. None of us believe it because we don't believe in those people. We believe that greed will win out, even if we don't want to admit it. We've seen it happen too many times. So.
Well said.
Getting ahead of the game on that one.
Well said.
Couple of other quick notes. Did you notice your old friend CJ, not yours, but all the fans' old friend CJ Abrams has been unceremoniously moved from shortstop to second base by the Nationals?
What?
Yeah. He's been playing terrible, I guess, defensively. They didn't bring him in and discuss it with him. Now, CJ Abrams is a superstar,
yes.
Whether you want to admit it or not.
A star for sure.
At least a star. He's one of the guys that's going to take the Nationals, they hope, into the next, you know, bit of time here. But he was a starter at shortstop, but he leads the majors with 19 errors. And so they're moving him to second base. But they didn't tell him. They just said, put him in the lineup in second base. And he's like, wait, whoa.
That is insane. That's kind of insane.
CJ Abrams deserves to be brought in. They don't want to. They bring it in and just talk it out. And then he can speak and you can speak and you can still win. You can still say, well, we are going to move you to second. So, you know, we appreciate your input. But suffice to say, he's not happy about this.
You got
to
tell him before you go put the lineup up.
His agent said, quote, his priority is to win games and to be a team first player. But he's not happy. Oh, really? Those two things don't go together.
I can allow that. I can allow that because he did go along with it.
Yeah,
but he's not happy.
He's
about
doing it. Yeah, he's not happy though. This is what bad franchises do. They make mistakes like that, and that is definitely a mistake for sure. This story, I don't want to. I almost don't want to go here. Because, you know, some people want to bring politics into sports, and I wish we didn't have to. Padres minor league catching coordinator, Osvaldo Perella, has been hauled in by the ICE agents down in El Paso, or in that area. El Paso Airport. He's from Venezuela. And I'm going to say this is in defense of ICE. He didn't have his work permit. He didn't have whatever ID he needed. And if this day and age, you better have that stuff. If you're even, I don't care who you are.
It's unfortunate.
You can't leave that option open for them to bring you in.
I'm not going to put that on him. I'm not.
You're not. You don't think he should carry his stuff?
No, I mean, he's been here in this country
all this
working
time?
Legally. He has two daughters that are American citizens.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, but Scraby, I feel, you know, I was born here, raised here, hardly ever been out of this country. But if I go anywhere near the border, personally, I know what's happening. I read what's happening. I'm bringing every bit of ID I have just in case.
I understand where you're coming from.
I think you kind of got to do that now.
But unfortunately, he's still
detained. Yeah, he's still being detained. Padres are saying they're aware of it. They're going to do everything. They're trying to do everything they can to clear up this situation. But it's another one out there. I don't know. I could go to the latest, but do you want to do Terron Arnold again? I don't have a lot more to say.
Well, they're still going to sign him, the Seahawks.
Seahawks say they're going to sign him. The NFL at least has said that he will immediately be put on some sort of restricted list before they can sign him, but he can't play.
Yeah.
But do you know what he can do while he's waiting to find out his fate? He can be paid by the Seahawks. Can get paid. So if they sign him, he sits on the sidelines, goes through a trial where he's facing 8 felony counts and life in prison. Oh, and by the way, draws a paycheck that is greater than you and I will ever see our entire lives. I'm just saying. There's something weird with the world.
This bothers me. And I wish it wasn't the Seahawks. I wish it was like the Browns so I can make fun of the Browns.
Yes, I know.
One would say, you're only mad because it's the Seahawks. I'm mad because this dude is facing 8 felony charges and has been given a job that pays him millions of dollars a year, and he might not even be able to do that job.
It's unbelievable. And when you read the story that say, well, the Seahawks are going to bring him in to compete for their third cornerback job. When does that just finally not be as important as what's happening in the real world?
And let's be honest, is he really competing for a third quarterback job, or is he competing for a starting job?
I don't know or care.
It's crazy.
I know there's not very many Seahawks fans are happy about it.
Yeah, I talked to one over the weekend. They said this really bothers them because they thought that their franchise and their organization was a little bit above this.
I told you, the whole time Tyreek was a Dolphin, I cheered for him for 3 hours on Sunday and hoped he scored a couple of touchdowns, but I'd never happy to have that guy part of the Dolphin organization, nor do I think the Dolphins should have been happy to have a guy like that. it's just part of almost the deal we have to make if we want to root for the NFL. By the way, they'd had a stat I saw the other day. What team do you think has had the most players arrested since 2000? They actually keep a stat on this. I was surprised by the answer.
It's either the Browns or the Chiefs.
Seemed like it. It was the Vikings on top. Yeah, and I don't have all the list of everybody, but the point being, they were like over 50 to win the contest.
Really?
It was over 50. It wasn't like they had 6 and another team had 5. They had like 50 players arrested in that time.
Wow.
Like 50!
I can only think, Kevin O'Connell, you got to run a tighter ship,
bro. I think it's before him. A lot of it, but not all of it.
He's turned it around. He's made it a respectable organization.
He's trying to. Eric Bieniemy with some good news today. He says his wife, Mia, is on track to make a full recovery. Remember this story? She was allegedly shot by one of the couple's sons last month at the family home in Virginia. What a horrible story that was to read and hear. But apparently, Bieniemy says she's doing much better, doing great, he says. And he's back at camp, says she's making a good recovery. She's a soldier and a saint. Been incredible to watch. So, keep our fingers crossed for that one.
There was a sad... I say sad. It is sad that someone dies, but I don't know this person. Never heard of this person until today. Bill Rasmussen, who apparently was the co-founder and visionary
of ESPN.
He died. Guess what happened on ESPN while they were talking about it? It ended up being cut off, their conversation about Bill Rasmussen, to start the Pat McAfee show. So they were all talking about of him.
The guy, legendary Bill Rasmussen, who started ESPN, changed the future of television. Oh, wait. Sorry. Pat McAfee starting. We got to go.
Yeah. They didn't even do that. Just cut into the Pat McAfee
just
show.
Cut right into it.
It was like Pat McAfee is that big these days.
I guess.
I don't know if you've heard about his, country music album or his music album. One, like, I don't mind Pat McAfee. I think he does some fun stuff. Okay. But once you think that you're a musician when you're not, you've crossed the line into another level of, I okay. think I'm very cool.
We'll see. We'll see where that all goes. Von Miller is a Cowboy. Did he have to go to the Cowboys? High-profile player, high-profile name, Cowboys shiny objects. Last 2 years, Cowboys 7-10. Last year, 7-9-1. Look for more of the same. But we'll certainly talk about the Cowboys more than any other team,
we'll
wasting our time.
Too.
All right. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was a
I liked
fast
it.
One.
Did we miss anything?
I don't think so.
Whatever we miss, Sammy will have it for you on the pregame. It's coming up next. Tomorrow's game is at 10 a.m. So we got today at 4, tomorrow at 10 a.m. That means you and I come on maybe 1:30 or 2 tomorrow?
No, definitely not before 2.
Okay, not before 2. I don't know.
Not before 2.
I'm so excited. I like to work early, yeah, Scrape. I can't wait to get in here with
not
you.
Not before 2.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. We'll have notes on a scorecard. See you.